do here. We've done this before, and then all of a sudden we discovered lots of churches across the United States do the same thing. We'll be taking a movie for 5 weeks, and we will pull a spiritual principle from it. And
oh, just keep on talking. I'll be with you in a minute. It's about to get cold in here. Ask me why.
Why?
Because Kids Camp's going to Mount Everest. Got my rope. Got my boots. Got my carabiner.
One?
Well, I might have a few more in the back. Are there people out there? I can't really... Oh, there you are. Hello. Good morning. You know what I need, though? I need a few more volunteers. And I need those kids to be signed up.
And maybe warm pants.
Well, this is keeping that 100 degrees bearable in this room right now. So I am going to be all dialed in 1 week from Monday. But if you haven't signed up your kids, please do that. You can do it at the Info Center or you can do it back in Wild Kingdom. $20 for 4 days, a t-shirt, 4 meals, crafts. What? Plus, your kids are going to learn that God is powerful. Do your kids need to know that God is powerful?
Yeah.
They do.
Yes.
They absolutely
yes.
do.
Yes.
So bring your kids, bring your grandkids, bring your neighbor kids, bring any kid you see on the street. Just bring them.
No.
Because we're going to be teaching
them. Don't do that.
Oh, maybe not that. Okay,
not
there
the
maybe
one.
Not that.
That would not be good.
Yes. But I do have a question for you. I seem to be missing something of great importance, and I wonder if you've seen it. I'm missing a Yeti.
Your eyeballs?
No, I'm missing my Yeti. I special ordered it from Amazon. He's due to be here anytime for Kids Camp. Do you know what a Yeti is?
Oh, I do know what a Yeti is.
What is a Yeti?
It's like the snow version of the abominable, not the snowman, the guy that's up in
Bigfoot?
Oregon.
Bigfoot? You're trying to say Bigfoot?
Oh, yeah.
The Asian version of Bigfoot, the abominable snowman. You're so cute. That's right. The Yeti is coming. So keep your eyes open. The Yeti's coming. Kids Camp is coming. 1 week from Monday. Be there or be square. Sign up today, please. Thank you.
I need prayer for my home life. That's all I'm saying right now. That's all I'm asking for. Anyway, we're taking these movies, and we're showing a couple of them. And what we're doing is just building some of the spiritual truth out of them, just for a different slice on stuff. This morning, we're looking at the movie Transformers. You know Transformers. That's where robots change into machines, and then they can change back, and they're either good or bad, and the bad people are trying to take over the world, and the good Transformers are trying to save humanity. Such a classic movie line. So anyway, we're going to be looking at that this morning. What I'd like to start off with before we go to prayer or anything like that, I would like you to stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read it together. It's going to be up on the screen for this series on Transformers. Are you ready? Let's start. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person, changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you gave us an objective truth in your word, that it's something we can place our hope on, our security on, we can find peace in times of trouble, we can find strength when we don't think we can take another step. I thank you it's a word that reaches out to every single person on this planet. Regardless of skin color, it reaches out to every human because every human is unique in your eyes and individually prized. And so, Father, we ask that we would be open. And that's not an easy thing to do sometimes in our life at different stages of our journey, to be open to hearing from you, to be nudged maybe, or just to draw something to mind during the little time we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks. You can be seated. So we want to look at this idea of transformation. And I don't know why I got melancholy the last couple days looking at transformation, because it's so easy in your life and my life to become stuck in the process of being transformed by God, because we make some choice on some idea, some opinion, some something, and we say, yeah, I don't really care what God wants, this is what I'm going to do. And so whenever we do that, we are starting to put the brakes on transformation. And so, and we'll see it as we go through this. Romans 12, 1 and 2 that we just read are probably, from my point of view, they're probably the most significant verses. Those two verses, it's about two sentences actually, three sentences, is probably the most significant three sentences I can find in the Bible when it talks about the New Testament and what God has done. And so that's what we want to look at. We want to kind of understand that. And we want to figure out how can I work in cooperation with God to bring about a transformation of our inner soul, our character, those things that are in us that keep us awake at night sometimes, that give us stress at times, that cause us, you know, all kinds of worry at times and fear and various things like that. How do you change the internal part of a human? And that's what we're going to look at in these two simple statements of his. So anyway, let's begin with the beginning of transformation. Now, some of the people that we'll teach during this series will actually use clips from the movies. Not me. Because I just went in a different direction. So that was it. Beginning of transformation. We're just going to take a look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. That's the only thing we're looking at for us. And it says this, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind you will find acceptable or pleasing. This truly is the way to worship him." So first off, let's just start with the bottom sentence. The idea of worship is this idea of my life being the object, that which I use to worship him. So that's what we're going to be looking at, this idea that the way to worship him is to literally lay my life out for him. That's what worship is. Now, on First Wednesday, which is happening this week, what we do is we practice what it's like, the natural response when I've yielded my life to him. It's all practice when we come in here, and it becomes worship if we walk in with yielded lives. But it reminds us, oh gosh, this is what it's about, and we always want to remember who Christ is, so we take communion, what he accomplished for us in the past, that he's coming back again. So I'd encourage you to come. But here's some of the interesting thing. Two words in here that give me pause if you look in your notes. One of them is the word give, and the other one is because. Now, today we're going to deal with grammar. Don't worry. I'm not going to give you a test on it. But this is the time when knowing the language that the New Testament was written on, the Greek has much cooler grammar than we do, especially verb tenses and various things like that. So the word give, where he says give your bodies to God, it is written of something that is to be a continuous action. So the idea of giving is this continuous action of presenting myself to God. The word give literally means to place yourself at another's disposal. Now, if you think about it, we place ourselves at another person's disposal all the time, though they may not know it. So when that guy cuts you off driving to work and you get hacked at him and you think about him for 10 minutes of the things you'd like to do to him, especially with the nightmare and the spaghetti bowl now, in those 10 minutes that you're fixated on them, you've really given yourself to them. And then you realize, most likely, when you're done with that little angst, you get to work and you're not in that great of a mood, because it affects us. And in this passage, it says, I must continually be in the state of giving myself, presenting myself, say, God, use me. God, I'm yours. I'm as broken as the next person. I drop the ball like the next person. But God, apparently, those are the kind of people you used, and those are the kind of people you picked when you look at the 12 disciples. Some hazard the guess that a few of the 12 disciples could not read. He didn't get the superstars. He just picked people. And he says, this is how the deal works. This God thing works when I live in this state of continuously giving myself to another for their disposal. Now, the word because in that passage, if you have an older version, it usually begins in Romans 12:1. It says, therefore. And we were always taught you're supposed to ask what the therefore is. Therefore. It's a simple hermeneutic principle. In the New Living Translation, it's probably the best translation there is for Romans 12:1-2 than anyone you would pick, and I'll explain that later. Because means, based on everything before Romans 12, that's Romans 1 through 11. And what he says in there, the two dominant things he taught was, A, God is a God of mercy. He loves when people don't get what they deserve. He loves that, contrary to me. Contrary to you sometimes, when you want that person who stabbed you in the back to get some kind of penalty for that. God is a person who loves when we don't get what we deserve, but God doesn't hand it out like chiclets. He says, you have to have a corresponding action on your part to move kind of underneath my umbrella of grace, of mercy. And so he talks about mercy, not getting what we deserve. And then the other part of Romans 1 through 11 is God's grace. And grace is the other side of the coin, where we get all that God has to offer us as a result of Jesus' payment, not mine. So all of this has to do with teaching. He goes, in light of that, in light of all that he's done for me, in light of all that he saved me from, this is actually written in such a way as this is the rational basis to give yourself to Christ. It's rational. If someone did all this for you, what would be the only response? I mean, this is beyond anything you could ever do for yourself. He says the only rational response is, because of all this, to give your bodies to him. I think the best paraphrase of the word because is from, well, I just read it to you, is from Fox, that is, this worship is due from you as rational creatures. So, because of God's mercy and grace, the only fitting response we can do is to say, okay, God, here's my body. It's a continuous action. God, I yield to you right now. I get in my car, turn it on. I yield to you right now as I drive. I yield to you as I maybe embrace my kids or deal with my child on something that's very difficult. I calm down enough, say, God, I embrace you. I just yield to you. Please help me in this. That's a yielding to him. So that's the beginning. It all starts with what God did for us. And we have to step into God's, what God has given us on the basis of a continuous action of us presenting ourselves to him. That's what that whole first thing means. Okay? So let's talk about that. And let's talk about why that is not easy for anybody in this room. Why it's so difficult to be that person. And this is called the fight for transformation. Are you there? Have you filled that in? Nice. Now, I'm going to be one that says there's no perfect best English version of the Greek New Testament. It's nonsense because, just because. It's nonsense because we're taking a dead language that was written 2,000 years ago. It no longer exists. So it's not morphing. That's a benefit. But the issue is when you're trying to translate, it's very difficult. I don't know if you've ever been around where there's a translator. I always question if what they're saying is what I just said. Because I was in, where was I? I was in Kalimantan, which is Borneo. It's what it used to be called, Borneo. I was right at the heart of it, and we were in this big church. And we were with Greg, who was up here a couple weeks ago. We were visiting them and kind of meeting some of their teams, Greg and Carolyn. And I'm there, and the pastor hears that I'm there, and it's a big church. And he was kind of like, in their culture, what was happening in their town right there, he really was like, they kind of called him, you know, he was like a Martin Luther King there for what he was doing because of two different ethnicities that there were problems, and people were being killed every day in that city because of it. So I get up there on the spur of the moment. I looked at my buddy and said, "What? Why am I going up?" Because you're a pastor, I go up there. And he says, "Give us a word from God." And I thought, what? I didn't prepare anything. So you start talking, and, you know, I say about 20 words, and then you pause, and he says 3 words. And I thought, what did he say? And then I say 4 or 5 words, and then he goes on for like 2 minutes. And I'm thinking, is he just preaching his own stuff, and no one's going to catch it? And you see, that's the problem when you deal with translating from one language to another, okay? So anyway, many versions in Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to the world. That's what a strict word-for-word, we talked about this last week, the week before, a strict word-for-word interpretation from Greek to English. The problem is, because people who do a literal translation, they'll only put down one word, at the most two. The problem is the word at its core literally means to the word to don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Literally means to shape one thing like another, and it describes that which is changeable and unstable. And at its basis, how everyone there heard it, it means to assimilate. That's what it means. And it's to be or become behaviorally or socially similar. That's the literal word transform. So when you get to the NLT, they said, yeah, one word's not going to cut it. So they say, don't copy the behaviors and customs. That's that to become behaviorally or socially similar. So here's what it means to copy the behavior and customs of the world. I got something for you up here. And then I'm going to tell you what it means. You know what I'm doing up here? Don't ask. Gosh, I love that smell. This is good stuff to put in your ear if you're having a hard time sleeping because the person next to you is loud. Just wedge it in there as far as you can. Get as much in as you can. I know you can't see this. It's a crappy illustration because I came up with it like a day ago. I couldn't have anyone in tech help me. Oh, I just took something that was a blob, i.e. read baby just born, blob, and I have now made it a minion. Because what I just did was I copied it into the form of the little guy here. Now let me explain this to all of us. This is the fight for transformation, for your life to be changed so you reflect Jesus more and more. This is written in a verb tense that implies clearly that we need to stop doing what is already happening to us. So, what that means is you, me, are always in the presence in this world of being transformed into the behaviors and customs and standards and thoughts of the world in which we live. Nobody is excluded from it. You cannot say, because God would say, well, I said that's not true. You can't say, oh, no, not me. I'm my own dog. You're probably the worst then. Because being your own dog just means that it's all about you and it's not about God. So from a Christian point of view, not a good statement. So the idea here is if I'm going to fight transformation, the first thing I have to realize is I'm always being changed. I drive down the road, I read a magazine, I read a web page, I listen to anything, I listen to people at work, and all of that stuff is in the process of transforming us, changing us into its image, to copy, to being conformed to be assimilated by behavior and culture. And if we're not aware of that, how are you ever going to fight it? You can't just go through life saying, because I said my prayer this morning or read my Bible or talked to Jesus throughout the day, that I'm not being conformed. There is nobody in here. There's no one on planet Earth that isn't being conformed by the behaviors and standards of their culture. I see it all the time in the church. It's so sad when I see it. People get, and you know, behaviors and customs can be anything, right? It can be a political party. It can be some kind of behavior that everyone else thinks is acceptable, so obviously it's acceptable to me, and obviously God's word is wrong on that deal. And all we're being done is being conformed into this. The other thing that's interesting about this conformity is it talks about it as if it's unstable, which means society, and this is not done by one individual person in your life, it's the whole culture, it's the whole package. It conforms us into its thoughts and behaviors. Whatever it is you take, and what it produces is that which doesn't last and is unstable. And I know when I am unstable and things are overwhelming, I am not at my best. And neither are you probably. And so what happens is it tries to keep us always not at our best. It tries to conform us so that we don't reflect the image of God that is in us. And because it's unstable, it conforms you, and then it just does this to you because it's unstable, and it'll conform you into something else. Because that's what he says happens. It's already happening to you. That's what the word means with the verb tense. So every one of us is being conformed, and we're going to have to talk about how do we change that. Well, Proverbs 23:7 puts it this way. For as he thinks within himself, what? Yeah, so he is. Aha. So, as he thinks within himself, so he becomes. So the best indicator of conformity is what runs around in your mind all the time. What do you think about up here driving down the road? What do I think about when I'm at work? And what do I think about when I'm out with my friends? And what do I think about? Because apparently I become that based on what takes place on the inside of me. And so you literally could, in your day, you could do something of a reflective exercise. You could do it at lunch. You could do it at dinner. You could do it before you go to bed and say, hey, where's my mind been all day? And I wonder what it's changing me into. Because all the world system will do is change me into what it is. And I just don't think we as humans, and I really do believe, I really do believe at the time we live in, we have filled our lives with so much noise and so much everything that doesn't really count, that when do you have time to be quiet and just think about your thoughts? I mean, like no cell phone around, no Facebook on in front of you, no 20 episodes of a DVR show. I mean, when do you in your day have a time to stop and said, I wonder where my mind's been because I'm going to become what I think? And if you're in a bad season of your life and you just think about how bad it is, it'll only get worse because of how I've been thinking. And I think we need to stop sometimes and say, where's my mind been today? Does this even line up with God? Because he's calling me to stop doing what is already happening. That idea that it shapes us and describes that which is changeable and unstable if we don't do something. You do nothing with this teaching, you will continue to be more and more shaped, conformed, to look like behaviors and standards of this world. It's a guarantee, because it's already happening. That's how it's written. It's already happening. And so what we have to make a decision on is, are we going to, in a sense, say to ourselves, I've got to challenge the way I think, because apparently what fills my brain is what comes out my mouth and what influences my emotions and changes me into something I probably don't want to be. I'm just challenging you on that. So here's God's path transformation, knowing that the world is always in the process of trying to conform you to its standards, cultural ethics, everything. That's what it's always trying to do. He says, don't let the world copy the behaviors and customs of this world. And now we go to the path of transformation. And it says, but let God do what? Into what? By. Yeah, so let's stop with that first line. Transform, actually the Greek word is metamorphosis. Where we get the word metamorphosis, it's the picture of a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. And I still don't get how that happens. It's this little thing that can barely get away from anything crawling on the ground. And all of a sudden it goes into something and it's transformed into something entirely different. It really doesn't walk much again. It flies, balances itself on its leg, and pretty much flies. And so you say to yourself, how did that amazing transformation occur? Because somehow it had to have changed, you know, all the way through it to come out that way. And so when he talks about transformation, this is what God is trying to do in your soul. He placed the Holy Spirit there if you're a Christ follower. And he's longing to change you. He's longing to renew the desires that change us at our core. And so he says, but let God transform you. So it kind of begins to think, that's God's job. Do I have a part in it? And we'll see what it is. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And that's thoughts, feelings, purpose, desires. It's everything that goes on in your brain. Everything that goes on in your internal constitution. And that idea of changing the way you think, it literally means it's the act of reestablishing something like new or improved. And so, whereas conformity was unstable, the word transform is permanent. It has that idea of lasting time. You see, society is always in flux. Society is always changing. Always. And the problem with that is as we get older, we by nature of the world and how it squeezes us, we become unable to change with it. Unless we work really hard at it. And all of a sudden you find yourself, I don't even fit in this culture much anymore. It's so different than me. And I say to myself, but if God is transforming me, I can still be able to influence and to radiate what Christ is like to the people around me. I mean, Paul and Jesus both demonstrated clearly that their approach to people who believe differently was not picketing. Paul says, I try to find common ground with everyone so that by some means I might be able to tell them about Jesus. So if I'm transformed, then I'll seek common ground with people who really may not believe like me. There only may be one little thing that we agree on, but I can build from there. They can build from there in a relationship. But if I'm being, if the world is making me become like itself, then all that does to me is make me, the society we live in now, it's a very adversarial society. It's a very extreme society. It's people yelling and saying stuff with, most of them don't have a lick of sense. No, I'm just saying. I'm not saying they just have become so blinded by how they've been changed. And it happens in the church all the time, which is sad. Just sad to me. So anyway, it refers to this permanent state, not that change thing. And so it's talking about deep-seated change. And this is why this is so important to me and why it should be so important to all of us. Because it says, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will what? Know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Let me spell those for you. Let me explain those last three words, the last three things they put together. Good means it's beneficial to your inner life. Now, I don't know what's beneficial to your inner life. I know it's beneficial to my inner life. But apparently he says, I will be able to see where God wants me, and it's beneficial to me down to the core. And then he says, it is pleasing, and that just means when I am in God's, when I'm in the path of God's will, then there's pleasure in it. You get done doing something. It's like here, when you get back from a mission trip, they went on a mission trip, or, you know, all the volunteers that help with the kids camp, you talk to them afterwards, all the volunteers are just, most of them, all just stoked. Ah, that was the greatest thing. Take pleasure in. That was amazing. Because maybe for 4 days, as they build a house down in Ensenada, for that 4 days, they are radically changed. And they've given their life over, in a sense, for 4 days to the work of God, which can still happen in their everyday job. Not being annoying or anything like that. But I'm here at my job to reflect you. I am continuously presenting myself to you for that. So the interesting part to me is I thought about God's will, and I'll just say something that some may deem heretical. That's okay. I don't think it is, though. If you want to determine God's will for your life, probably pray less and present your bodies more. If I lay my life down and say, God, I'm yours today. God, I'm yours driving to work. I'm yours at the office. I'm yours out with the kids. I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm yours. Continuous state of presenting. He said, then I will be able to know. And that word know, it's a unique word for know. There's several in the Greek language. This means to recognize as genuine after examination. You see, if I pray and say, God, show me my will, and I get a little voice inside my head, and it says, do this. And I realize that I have a bunch of little voices in my head. And so normally what happens when I'm struggling with something, I go, God, what do you want me to do here? In the morning, it's a yes. And then, you know, I take a shower, and then it's a no. And then I drive to work, and it's a yes. And there's just a voice that just says, they keep talking to me. I will not tell you their names. That's it's a little personal to me. And they may not all be males when they're talking to me in my head. But at some point, you just have to say, God, you've got to make it abundantly clear so that I can't miss it. Because honestly, God, I'm an idiot when it comes to this stuff. I need it abundantly clear, and it helps if it comes from your word. So you're reading it, and stuff happens. And then I realize that I look at it and said, oh gosh, that makes so much sense. I examine it. And he says, then you will discover that which is good, soul beneficial, pleasing, you get pleasure out of it, and perfect, which means it lacks in nothing. complete. I go to bed at night going, I don't need anything else. Right now, today, I am complete. Like Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm complete. And he's my shepherd because I've yielded my life to him. Okay, let me give you three steps that, and then I'm going to read something to you so you understand how this all works. God transforms us from the inside out, but he needs your choice in your will to continue to allow that to happen. Okay? First off, we've got to develop this idea of a continuous action of presenting ourselves to God throughout our day. It almost has to become second nature. I always say it's not the first step. I remember reading an article on it. When you step on something and you may say something you regret with little kids around, it's always the second step. And you go, oh, God, please, just help me. That was so stupid. Who left that there? And you say, I just present myself to you. I present myself to you. And if I'm presenting myself to you, that is something that helps us. The idea of presenting myself to him will probably help you discover the will of God in your life far quicker and probably really is God's will than just praying alone. Just praying alone. That's what this teaches. Second thing is, and this is something I think we can all do, and I'm going to ask you to choose one of these three. One is continuous action of presenting. The second one is this, a daily reflection of the mental thoughts and activities we have. And the question there is, what am I being molded into at the end of the day? Mold is unstable. It makes us copy the world. Transformation by God is this permanent state to which the changes happen, and it's long-lasting. It's internal, and it changes me from something entirely what I was before to something I never thought I could be. I don't know if a caterpillar sat around and saw butterflies and said, because I don't think they have a brain. We're thinking these thoughts. Hey, I want to be that one day. And all his other caterpillar friends said, yeah, right. You can barely walk an inch in an hour. But it's interesting that he transforms us into something we never thought we could be. So continuous action, 10 to 15 minutes in your evening, you can do this. Turn off TV and say, huh, what did I think about a lot today? Why did I respond to so-and-so at work that way? Why was that so important to me today? And as I'm doing that, I'm asking myself, I wonder if I'm being transformed or conformed to the pattern of this world. And I don't know how we can get out of it without daily reflection. I don't know how we can stop being conformed to this world without daily reflection. Because I let far too much stuff in here to influence me in a day. Far too much stuff. That comes from the world systems trying to conform me into its behaviors and practices. And the other thing I'm going to say, one, two, three, is the only way I can say this is we need to plant the real truth, T-R-U-T-H, in our minds. Believe me, if you haven't started reading along with us, if you haven't figured out a way, please, this is merely you making a choice. You go up to you version, you can read the Bible, or it can be read to you if you can't read well. God's word is truth that changes us at our core in a permanent way that leads us to good, pleasing, and perfect, whereas this conformity is all unstable, it goes back and forth, and it changes us into that which doesn't function well, because that's the purpose of the world's plan to conform us. I'm reading a quote here. Holiness of life rarely progresses apart from deliberate acts of the will. Deliberate acts. While being changed into Jesus, what he's like, not literally Jesus, we're not going to become God, is gradual, which it is in our lives, takes a lifetime, in the sense that it continues throughout our life, each significant advance depends upon a decision of my will and your will. So the question is, there's three things you can choose from. Will you cultivate the continuous presenting of yourself as a living sacrifice, that says, God, I'm yours. Do it as you see fit today. And I do it throughout the day. You make a deliberate action. Or you make a deliberate action to say, you know, I really do have to kind of figure stuff up. I realize a lot of my relationships aren't going well. I wonder how I'm being conformed. I mean, I'm wondering how I'm being copied into the behavior center of this world. I need to remember, I got to get those thoughts out of my head. Or if I think it long enough, I'll become it. And the last one is, I really do need to do this. And why is it so hard to do? Because it's so critical. This world system tries to keep you from it, fills you with too much stuff. I really do need to spend some time reading God's Word. YOUVERSION, YouVersion. Reading plans you can pick. We put them out a lot. And it can read to you if you've got, you can't read, if you have a hard time reading. Because if we're going to make any change to become transformed into something brand new, it's going to take a decisive act of my will to allow God to do his job in me. It's the only way it can be done. And there's a lot at stake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I realize that driving down the road in my head, walking around, thinking about stuff, all of those things are in some way molding me. That's what you say, not me. And Father, we really have to take a look at that. What am I filling my mind with? And there's so much that goes on in my mind that I just leave unchecked at things. And so, Father, I would ask that you'd help all of us, because it says you transform us by working with us to change the way we think. And Father, I think all of us would love to discover a path, a journey that is both good, pleasing, and perfect throughout from time to time in our life. Set us free from the horrible curse of advertising that always makes us want more. Because your way is perfect. I don't need anything else, Lord. Because it's perfect. And help me see that you truly can bring a benefit to my soul. And you can bring a permanent change. Help us all, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much for coming. Please be here at First Wednesday for our worship service. It'll be great to see you here. Bye.